Q1033 Sharon, WAMC AM 1400 Albany.
Good afternoon, it's 2 o'clock. Welcome to Vox Pop on WAMC for this Food Friday. It's May 30th. I'm Samantha Simmons. Today we welcome Holly Shulowitz of NourishingWisdom.com. Holly is here to talk about healthy cooking with foods that give us more energy, help keep our immune system strong, and reduce cravings for junk food. I'm not good at that. Give us a call at 1-800-348-2551. That's 1-800-348-2551. You can also email us at voxpop@wamc.org. But that number again is 1-800-348-2551. Holly Shulowitz, Healthy Cooking, and all your calls coming up on Vox Pop after this news. Hello once again, and welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Samantha Simmons. Today we welcome Holly Shulowitz. Holly Shulowitz is a nutrition counselor, culinary nutrition educator, and holistic health coach. For over 20 years, Holly has been teaching people how to eat healthier, feel better, and harness their body's own preventative health and healing powers with food, herbs, and lifestyle. Holly regularly teaches community workshops at libraries, farmers markets, and on Zoom. To ask Holly a question about healthy cooking and boosting your immune system, give us a call. The number is 1-800-348-2551. Again, that's 1-800-348-2551. And you can email us at voxpop@wamc.org. Holly, welcome back to Food Friday. How are you?
Thank you. Good to be here and great to see you.
There's, for listeners, there's some really good smelling pesto-ish thing here. So we'll talk about that later. But first I want to talk about, in our intro, we were talking about feeling better, staying healthy. And when, before the show, I was talking with my colleagues about what herbs you can use for like at-home remedies. So let's start there.
That's a great beginning. Thank you for that question. So there's so many things. So culinary herbs add so much in addition to wonderful flavor. So let's talk about thyme and oregano for a minute. Thyme and oregano and probably so many of the other culinary herbs have natural antiviral and antibacterial properties. And so if you feel a cough coming on, if you feel a little scratchy throat, you can make yourself a cup of thyme tea, believe it or not.
Interesting.
Where you boil some water and then you pour it over some dried thyme because you'll get more flavor in this situation when it's dried. When we're cooking with it, we'll use fresh. And then you cover that cup and let it steep for a good 20 minutes to an hour. You can reheat it, but don't boil it. And then you can add a little honey or a little stevia to sweeten it a bit, and then just sip that. And it really is giving your body these immune boosting properties to help your immune system fight whatever might be brewing. Oregano is another incredibly powerful, flavorful herb. You can do the same thing. And then also when we're adding these herbs to our cooking, to soups, keeping it fresh, like buying or growing fresh herbs, adding it to the top of your salads, the top of your soups, that makes wonderful flavor. It adds beautiful flavor. And it, again, it's really supporting your immune system. It's helpful with gentle cleansing. And some of them also, like, we'll say lemon balm, which is more of an herb than, and you can make a tea with that. You can also tincture it with, we can talk about that another time, but when you make a lemon balm tea, and that is really ideal when you dry the lemon balm first, and now you can get it at local farmers markets, and of course you can cultivate it in your garden and it grows prolifically. It's in the mint family, so it's got that slightly square stem, which will also mean that it will keep growing and growing and growing. It's a perennial, and it will also spread, so bear that in mind. But lemon balm has these wonderful anti-inflammatory and antiviral properties, so it's a really great one to be including in your your morning tea or your evening tea. It's also like very relaxing, but not as relaxing as, let's say, chamomile or lavender would be, but it's a very calming, lovely herb.
So is this different than herbal tea, or is it the same, just not like commercially marketed like those chamomile teas?
Exactly. So this is herbal tea because we're making a tea infusion with herbs, and we're doing it kind of not only for flavor, but medicinally. So when we're using it this way in a tea, we tend to make the tea a bit stronger so that it has more acting power in the body.
And before we move on from the medicinal use, I'm sure we'll come back to it with some questions, but can you take that thyme and oregano and maybe powderize it and put it in like a honey cough drop kind of thing? Would that work too?
Absolutely. Okay. Sounds like you might have done that before.
No, I haven't. I was just genuinely
curious.
But yes,
you could. Like, I love making, for those that can tolerate honey, there's so many people now that have some blood sugar issues where honey might be way too sweet and increase their blood sugar levels too high. But if that is not your issue, it is a really beautiful thing to take some fresh herbs from your garden or the farmer's market and put them, you know, fill a jar with them. Let's say we take, you know, an 8 to a 16 ounce jar. If you have a lot of fresh herb, you fill the jar and then you pour honey over it and cover it, you know, put a lid on it, set it in a warm place, or not really, just set it aside. It doesn't have to be a warm place. And then within 30 days, you have an infused herbal honey that you can take a spoonful of. You can also do this with garlic in your honey, which is like, sounds crazy, but it's really good. You can take a spoonful of that. And then you can also use this herbal infused honey in different cooking methods. So then you're adding like a sweet taste as well as the beautiful flavor of the culinary herb and these immune boosting properties. So that's like a three-way win.
We're going to take a call, but first, I just want to remind everyone that WAMC's lockbox is open. We start our fun drive on Monday at 6 a.m., and to help us fill that lockbox a little bit more before we get into full, campaigning there, you can donate at WAMC.org. So we're going to go to Chris in Housatonic, who asks, is papaya good for you and lemons and white and green tea? So let's take that.
All right.
Getting Hi, Chris. Are you there?
Yes, I am.
All right. You can ask your question.
I was wondering if papaya is good for you, and lemon and limes, and super green tea.
Sure.
All
right. I'm going to jump in. So, yes, all of these are incredibly healthy for us. Papaya is... A, delicious, and B, it has natural enzymes that really support digestion. So it's a really easy food to digest, and when you let the papaya get soft to touch, kind of like the ideal avocado touch, that's when your papaya will have the most sweetness. And then those little seeds on the inside, if you taste one of those, it is like hot pepper. So in many cultures, they'll scrape out the seeds and dry them and then grind them and use them as like a spicy, hot addition to food. So definitely papaya. Lemons and limes, absolutely. Not only do they add flavor, which seems to be a theme, right? So everything we're talking about, I'm saying not only does it add flavor, but it has these... healing properties. So lemons and limes, particularly grapefruits as well, because they make you pucker, that means they get your juices flowing. They literally get your digestive juices flowing, and they get your liver and gallbladder juices flowing, support with digestion, and they help with gentle cleansing. One of the things I tell all of my clients to do, or encourage them to do, is to drink.
I got one more question.
Okay, hold on. I'm going to finish this thought. Is to take some water in the morning and squeeze a half or a whole lemon in there and sip that through your morning. One of the dishes that I made today, I'm going to be talking about herbs and how to really preserve and not let your fresh herbs go to waste. And using lemons or limes is another great way. I could talk for an hour just about citrus.
Yeah, I got one more question. Now, is milk thistle very good for the liver?
It is. It is. And you want to make sure to do your and you want to make sure to do your research if you're having any health concerns where you are concerned about liver health. You definitely do your research before you dive into that on your own.
All right, Chris, thank you so much. So right before the break, we took a call, but now I have a question about dried versus fresh herbs. We were talking about that before the show started. So you can't really freeze herbs because then they get all soggy, at least in my experience. So, and you talked about not wasting them. So what do we do with our herbs to not waste them, especially the ones that grow like crazy?
Okay. This is one of my biggest passions is, I'm sure almost everyone has had that experience where you either buy or, you know, grow some cilantro or mint or oregano and you use a bit of it. And then in a few days, it's a mess of slime. We want to avoid that. And so one of the things, let's say you buy, you know, a big bunch of cilantro and you use what you needed, then you have this bunch. What do you do? So one of the things is to do what I just made for you to taste is to combine some fresh herbs with something acidic, which can be lemon, you know, freshly squeezed lemon juice or lime juice or vinegar. I wouldn't go with balsamic in a situation like this. I would use ideally raw apple cider vinegar because you're getting all of these beneficial enzymes. You add some salt and some garlic. And so if you think about that combination with some olive oil, you are now preserving your beautiful herbs that either yourself or our wonderful farmers have grown. And when you chop up the herbs, you can either do it in a food processor or you can do a chop, chop, chop on your board. And then you don't even need measurements, you guys. You can just combine your fresh herbs with a squeeze or a teaspoon of, there I went a measurement, with a spoonful of vinegar. You got to put olive oil in there because that will also really help to preserve it. And then some salt, garlic or scallions or something in the allium family to kind of add that. This one I added also a little tiny bit of chili pepper. And you can make it as hot or mild as you want. And so when you have that, you can then put that combination into ice cube trays and freeze them. And then pop them out, keep them in a Ziploc or silicone bag in your freezer, and you are hooked up. What am I using this for? Mm-hmm. So today I made a cauliflower steak. And it's basically you take a raw head of cauliflower and you very carefully, keeping the core intact, you make some thick slices, maybe like not quite a half inch, but you want to really do it very carefully with your knife so that the steak, the slice of it stays intact. And then you put that in a hot cast iron skillet or another skillet with some olive oil and sear it on one side, add some salt, and then flip it once it starts to brown a little bit. And then you use this herbal combination on top of it. You can also do this with chicken, with fish, with tofu, with shrimp. And again, you can, this non-recipe combo that I just gave you is something that I teach clients all the time. And I've added oregano, dried or fresh. And I'm going to get back to that question about like dried versus fresh. Mm-hmm. And then let's say it's not cilantro you had. Maybe you have a lot of parsley. And so a way to store these herbs, cilantro, parsley, mint, is that you take a glass and put a small amount, like a tiny half inch or less of water in the bottom of the glass. And you put your bunch of herbs into the glass, and then you actually cover the top of the leaves with a plastic bag or a silicone bag, and then you can keep that in the fridge, and that will also extend the shelf life. If you just put your cilantro in a bag in the fridge, within a couple of days, you have slime, right? And it's so disappointing. And so when you make something like this in a combo, you can also use the stems of cilantro. Parsley stems sometimes can be a little tough, so you want to gauge that. And then if you have thyme or oregano or rosemary, you would pull the leaves off of the stem mm-hmm. so that you're not getting the hard stem. And the key is to chop the herbs really fine, or you can let your food processor do the work and you can use a mini food processor or the regular one. And then again, you want something acidic like lemon or lime or vinegar, and then salt, and then garlic or scallions or shallots. And you can really just use what you've got in your fridge. And then if you don't, this combo, once with the oil and the acidic, will last in your fridge a good week. But if you think it's going to be, let's say, more than 5 days, I would do that ice cube tray thing. And then you won't have to waste your herbs, and then you'll have them when you want them.
My partner and I are like constantly fighting on how to keep our herbs fresh. We'll like make something, like, oh, this is great, and then they go to waste in the fridge or freezer. So this is good
hard information.
I hope you're listening.
and then you can also dry. Like certain herbs can be dried. So mint can be dried, oregano, rosemary, sage. And if you think about those herbs, they're a little hardier. They have less moisture in the leaves. Like if you think of cilantro or even parsley, like I don't encourage you to dry parsley. It's like, eh. So you're better off using it for something like this. Yeah.
All right.
You want to taste it?
Yeah, let's taste it. Of course, it's food sitting in front of me. Of course, I want to taste it.
I cut some up so you wouldn't have to deal with that.
Thank you. All right.
So this combo that I just made is exactly what I just said. I didn't measure anything. I took the leaves off of the cilantro. I mixed this with raw apple cider vinegar and olive oil, salt, garlic, and a little chili pepper.
I'm a
little
fan.
Oregano.
This is really good. I don't Yay. Think I've ever had a cauliflower steak before, but
oh, cool!
This is really good.
Great.
I got a couple emails we should get to. This is an herbal question. So Jan says, help us understand how reusing D-mannose, forgive me if I don't know how to say that. Mm-hmm. You're the expert on mm-hmm. this, not me. As a bladder infection preventer and treatment, or Wiggler suggested for therapy or arthritis symptoms, how do I get it naturally in food or herbs?
Mm. Great question. Someone's doing their homework. D mannose, it's literally the letter D dash mannose, is an active ingredient in cranberries. And it is incredibly helpful for urinary tract infections for men or women, bladder, prostate, urinary tract. Now, you want to And they come in capsules, and I understand the question. I don't think you can get it in as concentrated a form as you could in capsules. You could certainly include fresh or frozen, unsweetened cranberries in your food, but I'll tell you, that is... you need to eat a lot of them, and they're very strong tasting. And but it's really nice to add chopped, very tart cranberries to your fruit salad. And I would say, if as a menopause coach, if there are women that are getting regular UTIs, regular urinary tract infections, there is a solution for that. And I don't want to go into a huge tangent, but I will say that you do not have to be suffering and that there is a solution. Please send me an email and I'll give you more info.
The number is 1-800-348-2551. That's 1-800-348-2551. We're talking with Holly Shelowitz about nutrition. We're going to go to another email here really quick about okra from Rick. Who says, a couple times a year I will make a gumbo when one of my staple ingredients is okra, but I can only find it frozen. How good is okra for you, and what else would you recommend pairing it with?
Oh, that's a great question. Go to your farmers markets. There are certainly, depending on where you live, the Troy Farmers Market is so amazing. Someone is bound to have okra. But if you can't find it, keep searching and try to find it fresh. In, like, again, depending on where you live, but I imagine Honest Weight would have it. Some of the other really fabulous stores that have great produce sections will have it. So I would opt for trying to find it raw so that you would then cook it in the same way that you're doing it. It is, you know, it's one of those vegetables that people have a love or fear relationship with, where it can have kind of a slimy texture when it's cooked. And that's only, some people would say, yeah, it's not slimy, but it's an unusual texture. And so because of that texture, it's really great for the digestive tract. It's very healing for the gut, for small intestine, large intestine, liver, gallbladder. It helps with elimination. And I would say making a gumbo is great depending on what you're putting in your gumbo. But then you can also saute it and cook it with tomatoes, peppers. I would do some online research. There are so many amazing recipes. And that's how I was introduced to it. It was part of my CSA last year, a bunch of years ago. And I thought, okay, I'm going to jump into the world of okra. And I loved it. And so try different ways of preparing it with other vegetables. It doesn't have to cook very long.
The number is 1-800-348-2551. I want to talk about, you know, it's growing season. Herbs are growing right
yes.
now. How can you keep them, you know, whether it's in your house or on your back porch or in a garden, from growing crazy? What the question is how can I incorporate it into everyday foods? You know, it's summertime, not everyone wants a soup that you're usually putting, you know, things in. So
yeah,
what does that
great.
Look like for the summer?
Love that. What a great problem to have, herbs that are growing like wild. I love that problem. So I do a lot of small catering as well. So I do some cooking for parties and gatherings, and using seasonal foods, especially herbs, is such a big part of what I'm incorporating into the food. And so getting into the habit of just like the way you were describing it, is to be using it in all kinds of things. So imagine putting a little bit of lavender flowers in with some blueberries and yogurt. It's so delicious if you like lavender.
Yeah.
You can chop some fresh oregano or thyme, parsley, cilantro, and add those to your salads. If you eat whatever your breakfast is, hopefully it's savory and not sweet, that you can add some chopped fresh herbs to your omelets, to your if we're not cooking and we're doing more like, you know, warm weather things, there are fresh herbs that you can add to almost anything. And it really adds such great flavor. And it also, when I'm cooking for clients and they taste some of the herbs, let's say in some whipped cream, I added a little bit of lavender or a little bit of thyme. And it's just like, wow, what was that? Oh, that was so amazing. And so it's like you surprise your palate and whoever you're cooking for. So to just keep trying to keep experimenting with different ways to use herbs that are unusual, perhaps.
I don't think I realized that lavender is technically an herb. Is there other things like that
yes.
that you'd be surprised? You know, a yeah. person of my IQ would be surprised as an herb.
So, you know, a lot of the flowers, so let's see, what are we, so nettles is something that grows wild all around our area.
I had that for the first time recently.
Yes, it's a really important herb for women, but men benefit too. It's really high in minerals and is very, very helpful for strengthening your blood. And it's a beautiful herb to dry. And it's also called stinging nettles. So it does have that property. If you brush past it on a hike and you feel like you've gotten stung, it will pass. And it's actually a natural anti-inflammatory. But when you're, if you're harvesting it, then you would always wear gloves if it's something that can sting. And then you can also buy nettles dried and then make tea infusions, which is definitely a regular part of my life.
Are there any herbs that are sort of insect repellent in the garden?
Yeah. I love your questions. They're awesome.
These are all just coming off my dome, so I'm glad.
It's awesome. You're doing great. So marigolds are naturally like pest repellent. And a lot of the culinary herbs, because they're so fragrant and they're high in natural essential oils, so all of the herbs that I've named, maybe except for cilantro, although that has a fragrance as well, they are generally, like, they do not have to be sprayed, and frankly, they shouldn't, you know, that's a whole other conversation. But okay, so the aroma that's part of culinary herbs are natural repellents as well. And then essential oils make an amazing natural repellent. And although we're moving from the plant to more of an oil, that's what I use as my insect repellent, is like I combine different essential oils together. People can reach out to me. I'm happy to share that recipe. And then geranium, which is, you know, a common house or outdoor plant, but particularly rose geranium, is the leaves have this beautiful rose fragrance. And so that can be, it's not edible in that form, but it can be a really lovely deterrent as well.
We're speaking with Holly Shalowitz of nourishingwisdom.com. We're talking about all things healthy food and nourishment, if you could have guessed that. Give us a call at 1-800-348-2551. Again, that's 1-800-348-2551. Or you can email us at voxpop@wamc.org. So Holly and I were talking over the break about what she's been up to. So tell us a little bit about that, Holly.
Great. So much of my work, really all of it, is about teaching people how to nourish themselves well and how to really take good care of themselves in all seasons of their lives. And something I've been doing more lately, which I'm very excited about, is doing some cooking for small gatherings, parties, and retreats. And it's been so much fun to use produce as it's coming into market, which is lots of fresh herbs right now. And then coming up with creative ways that with dishes that can really please a whole range of people in for a gathering. This one that I just did a few weeks ago was a birthday party, and it was a birthday party housewarming combo. And that was like a really fun thing. And one of my most favorite moments was I got to create with my team this beautiful appetizer table. And so it was one of those like sensual, beautiful tables with like cheese and crackers and dried fruit and nuts and flowers. And it was like
an extreme charcuterie
board. It was so gorgeous. And then like about a half an hour in, I looked over and like nobody had touched it. And I thought, oh my God, like it just took us like 2 hours to do this. Why isn't it? It was so beautiful. They didn't want to touch it. And I was like, please, manja, eat, like enjoy. And that felt like such a beautiful, creative, like art piece that then people got to eat and enjoy. So that was totally fun. And then to make a dinner that can satisfy 15 people or 20 people where it works for everyone's tastes and flavors, that's also like a great challenge and fun. So I feel like I've been teaching this in my cooking classes for 25 years, and it's been really fun over these years to also incorporate that in these gatherings. I'm loving it.
I know when I cook, it takes me about 2 hours to do any sort of prep. I could be making a grilled cheese and it would take 2 hours. So can we talk some time-saving tips?
Yes,
this is
great.
For me personally.
Yeah.
I'm the one asking this.
Absolutely. So depending on what you're making, like whenever, if let's say you or someone is making more than one dish at a time, let's say you're making a dinner with like three different components, it's great to like take your time to really think it through and even make some notes. And so you want to start with the thing that takes the longest. So let's say in a simple way, you're making a pot of rice. And so you would measure out your rice and get that going on the back burner. And then again, everything depends on what you're making, but you want to have your utensils that you're going to need to be reaching for close by, within reach. So you're not like freaking out and throwing things all over the place to try to get to that thing that, why isn't it in here? So that's helpful. And then we want to take a moment to also like set out all of the ingredients. So if it's a new recipe or something that you haven't made before, you want to really take your time and look through the recipe you're following and get everything ready and sorted so that you've got your ingredients. And if there's any prep that you can do ahead of time, I find that I love teaching something called the energy of the chef. And so where you want to be as calm and grounded as possible. And I know for so many people, cooking can feel like a harrowing experience. And so we want to like incorporate deep breathing, seriously, and like being as calm as you can. If you ever saw that movie years ago called like Water for Chocolate, mm-hmm. it's a beautiful film, and it's so much like exaggerated experience of the energy of the chef and how, you know, the way she's feeling affects everybody that's eating her food. Mm-hmm. And there is really something to that. And so it's wonderful to create calm in your kitchen, to start with a clear kitchen, to have the counters clear, to have the dishes done in the sink. That can be such a challenge for me.
I understand.
Because like I'm in the kitchen so much of the time. Yeah. And so to just start with a clear space so that is in and of itself very calming. So setting out your ingredients, setting out your utensils, creating a game plan so that you know step one, step two, step three in terms of how you're moving from one dish to the next. And especially if there's a meal that you're making with a few different components and you want everything to be ready at the same time, that's really very helpful to make the game plan.
I grew up in kitchens. My dad's a chef
and my other brother. Awesome.
So I understand the need of like the organization and
yes.
the counter space is so important. So
that's amazing.
I totally understand.
Was it a hectic kitchen?
Oh, my God. You know,
yeah.
The Bear, the TV show, The Bear. Everyone
yes.
knows The Bear. It's
yeah.
just like
I love that show.
It's
but
so
it gave
good.
Me palpitations.
Me
like,
too.
When
I like,
watched
oh
that,
God.
I was totally having yeah. anxiety.
I would go in on the weekends and peel doilies with the waitresses. And so sometimes I would like make biscuits in the back, but often
amazing.
It was just the doilies.
Yeah.
we've got
great.
A question that's been lingering here for a bit. This one's from Susan, who says, "Hello, I stopped drinking alcohol over 4 years ago. Since then, I've been craving sugar more than ever in my life.
Yeah.
I try to eat fruits and snack on fruits and nuts, but still craving that. But that's craving still remains. Can you
yeah.
give good substitutions for snacks and anything that I could be eating otherwise that would reduce my craving for sugar? I will give you one. It's ice cream, but that's not helpful." So,
first of all, Susan, congratulations. That is no small
yes,
feat.
Congrats.
It is such a big deal. Whatever brought you to that decision, yay, you can do this. That sugar craving is real. And so often, and that I would say that is probably the number one thing that clients come into my practice with is that, because it can really feel uncontrollable. So I'm going to say, without knowing more about you and your history and what you eat and what your lifestyle is like, one of the reasons why we crave sugar is that there's some help that's needed in your gut microbiome. So, you know, sometimes, especially when there's been, for anyone, a lot or frequent consumption of alcohol or sugar, that there can be an overgrowth of yeast, often called candida, but it could be other things in the gut. And then another thing is you want to make sure you're drinking plenty of water. And believe it or not, it's really helpful for everyone to put a pinch of good quality salt into your water. Just a pinch. It should never taste salty. My favorite, and I've gotten the thumbs up from Ray in the past that I can mention this, it's called Redmond's Sea Salt, and you can get it on their website or at your local natural food store. And you just put a pinch in your water, and oftentimes sweet cravings can come from having deficiencies in minerals. And you could be drinking water all day long and hydrating in that way, but if what the salt does is it helps your cells, it penetrates your cells so that you're actually receiving the hydration that you're drinking. Another reason why someone can have a lot of strong sweet cravings is that their sleep is disrupted. And so much of the work that I do with women, that hormonal fluctuations and changes in perimenopause and menopause and beyond can really affect sleep. And so when we're not sleeping well or enough, or there's high levels of stress, then there's a lot of cortisol moving through the body, which can really create the cravings for sweets. So I could go on. I'll just say, you know, another thing is like a dopamine serotonin shift. And so reach out to me. I'd love to support you.
I have a dumb question.
No such thing.
Okay. So at WAMC, hot dogs are a big thing. And I know that's not necessarily the healthiest thing if it's even real food most of the time. If you could suggest an herb to put on it, what would it be?
Can I suggest getting an organic, natural hot dog?
Yeah.
Okay. So if the hot dogs are being purchased and it's not like, you know, a restaurant providing them, go for, you know, the organic beef hot dogs. You can get chicken hot dogs, turkey hot dogs, no nitrates. It's very common for there to be a whole lot of chemicals, and it's not necessary. However, you need to be a good shopper. And I would say the Honest Weight Co-op, who I have no affiliation with, but I'm a fan, definitely has them. And then having good quality mustard and sauerkraut, which helps with digestion. You know that like sauerkraut, pickle, ketchup, mustard thing, they were all originally prepared to support digestion. Because if you have a burger, the pickles, a long time ago in indigenous cultures, originally they would cure cucumbers so that when you're eating the burger, which is heavy beef, then you're also supporting your digestion. Sauerkraut is exactly the same. So I would say have sauerkraut, have kimchi on the table so that you're like dipping into some strong flavors that also really support digestion. And go for the organic dogs, nitrate-free, clean ingredients, still really good. You can prepare them the exact same way.
Thank you for that. That was also for me. Let's go to a call. Let's go to Ted in Shelburne, Vermont. Hi, Ted. Are you there?
Yes, I am indeed here.
All right. What's your question?
Well, my published question is about garlic chives. Mm. But and I also will, I don't live in a concrete jungle. There's plenty of growing things around, and I sort of graze at dusk.
That's great.
Nettles can be harvested pretty easily, and my hands aren't that tough, but just a couple of top leaves with your thumb and forefinger and snip them with some scissors and drop them in something, and then their next stop is boiling water.
Great.
And and then they're harmless. But it's a good, and also when if they grow up and get tall or buggy, you can just mow them with a lawnmower, and you'll have another crop in a few weeks.
Oh, wisdom here.
So, and the garlic chive is, it is a thing, and it is grows in abundance, and it can be restrained by when the flower stalk comes up, and after you enjoyed the pretty part, don't let it make seeds, because that's one of its primary ways of taking over your real estate.
This is great.
So garlic chive.
Love them. Delicious. And I actually love eating the flowers and adding the flowers to salads and things.
Right. I mean, I tried that, and I even tried to see if the seeds could be of some culinary interest, but I didn't find that to be the case.
Mm. Did you have a question?
I don't know
question?
If you have any.
Oh. What is your question?
Well, the question is just their nutritional value or ways to prepare, or if cooked is a little better than raw.
Okay. I would absolutely, first of all, garlic chives are delicious, and I would chop them and keep them raw. Add them to salads, add them to the tops of any food that you're making, literally.
Okay.
Like you can chop them up and add them to your eggs once the eggs are cooked, because that's, they have like a lovely, sweet, delicate, garlicky flavor. And then soon at your, if you've got them in your garden, or this is for the listeners at your local farmer's market, garlic scapes, it's a different plant, but it's those are amazing. And so it's the tops of garlic, and you'll find them at the farmer's market. You'll find them like incredibly also at grocery stores, but I would go directly to the farm or the market, farmer's market, and use
or
those from yes, absolutely, or if you're growing garlic for sure. And they're beautiful, and you can put them in a glass of water. And I've used them for years and years and years in cooking, in pesto, in, you know, anywhere that you would use garlic. And my friend many, many years ago brought me a beautiful bunch, and we put them in a glass, and they have these like curly tops, which is the part of why we want to clip them, so that the energy of this plant is going into the bulb of the garlic. But this whole beautiful green stem and the top and the swirly part of the top, like they changed shape. So like by the next day, they were all looking totally different, in a different shape. So they don't even have to be refrigerated. You can put them in a little bit of water and just enjoy the visual pleasing of them, but then also use them, you know, in your cooking. They're just wonderful.
Ted, and thank you.
Just one second, if
okay.
I may. The chive, the garlic chive, does that have the allium nutrition kind
yes,
of?
Yes, absolutely.
Concept?
Yes, for sure.
Okay.
And I would keep it raw.
Thank you.
Definitely.
Thank you so very much.
You're
thank
so
you.
Welcome. Bye. Loved all of your tips.
Have a good weekend. We got one more call here. It's Judy in Monroe. Hi, Judy. Are you there?
Yes. Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah, we've got just a couple minutes, so what's your question?
Okay. Yeah, I'm a big fan of garlic scapes, by the way.
Great.
So I have I was diagnosed with rheumatoid arthritis a couple of years ago, and I'm on a lot of medication. And I'm a big believer in medication because it's really helped me a great deal. However, I'm curious to see what you would think about, kind of the supplements, what supplements you recommend.
Okay.
That's basically it.
Yeah. First, I'm glad that you're finding relief, because that can be extremely painful. Without knowing more about your history and your diet and your lifestyle and all the things that I would do in a session with you, some simple things that I can recommend that are natural anti-inflammatories is turmeric, ginger, and turmeric really in like not only in your cooking whenever you can do it, but in a capsule form, so that you are getting a concentrated higher dose. And again, you want to, you know, if you're working with a practitioner, check with them.
Because I have, full disclosure, I've been taking a lot of turmeric and ginger and, you know, I do enjoy that. And teas as well.
Great.
But lately I heard that turmeric will affect your kidneys and your liver. And so that kind of, you know, took me aback because I was drinking so much of the tea and cooking with it. So I got a little nervous about that.
I have not heard that. And it's always important to do your research and check with your practitioner. And feel free to reach out if you've got questions like that.
Judy, thank you so much.
Mm-hmm. Oh, thank you.
We're just about out of time. Thank you to Holly Shelowitz for joining us today. You can reach her on nourishingwisdom.com.